Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to the Weird Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Brian Brushwood.
Yo, people. I'm perfectly fine. If I seem weird, that's not my fault. That's your view.
For audio listeners, the man popping and rocking right now is the one and only Justin Road Dogg Young.
Man, coming at you for the full hour this week.
I can't believe that was a week ago. We had our medical emergency extravaganza.
I know.
I'm laughing at your misery. Can I tell you how many people I've entertained with the story of what happened to you? It's become epic.
Yeah, you know, if you know, a lot of people have been writing in, hey, I don't know what happened last week, but it got halfway interesting, and then the energy just fell off a cliff.
I don't know. Not all it fell off of.
It, because I wasn't on the show, I fainted while pooping. I had to go to the emergency room.
Yeah, if you want a more detailed graphic accounting of that evening, you can listen to this week's Night Attack, wherein not only you'll hear the harrowing tale of Justin thinking he needed to go vomit and then, you know, trying other activities and eventually passing out on the floor and then going to the ER in the middle of Weird Things, but you'll also hear how mere minutes later I got on stage to do the same fire-eating act I've done for 20 years and immediately engulfed my hands in flame, and I'm left with second-degree burns that finally, they look slightly better now. We'll see.
It's colored.
Yeah.
And maybe one day you can get to the first degree. You know, it sucked to settle for second best, but, you know, maybe one day.
I had a great Sunday. I'll go into that some later on point, so don't jinx things, but I had a really good Sunday. Yeah. So it's the karma.
No,
it may have been worth it, guys. It may have been worth it.
Andrew's just launching a gigantically successful book. He's you know, just tripping the light fantastic out there in Los Angeles. It's just an amazing time for everybody but old burn hand Brushwood and poop fainter Young.
Burn hand and poop fainter are the best mystery crime solving duo this side of Starsky and Hutch.
Man, it's a good thing. I'm going to let everybody know that we're waiting for a SpaceX launch, so we may jump right in there. But meanwhile, I've got a case
For burn hander and poop fainter.
Yeah, listen, if you hate fingerprints and consciousness, then you've come to the right place.
All right. Gentlemen, taxi drivers in Japan have been complaining. They've been having a problem. They're a little bit upset.
Yeah, I mean, the last season of Pokemon wasn't as good as we thought it should be. That's from Japan,
keep
right?
Keep it to yourself, Psyduck.
you don't want to, any ideas on what's upsetting them? I'm going to go turn off my air conditioner.
I mean, listen, you know, you have a lot of issues going on in Japan. Maybe it's, what most people, taxi drivers get upset about are like, you know, the ride sharing apps, right? Like Uber and Lyft and stuff like that. You know, those are really bothering the rank and file taximen.
Taximen, is that what they're called?
Yeah, they have the Taximen's Union, as popularized by the hit musical, Hey, I Need a Ride.
So the taximen are upset. Is it because of some unusual critters that are in their way?
No, it has to deal with, you know, you pointed out, you know, they're having some problems with some fares that aren't paying.
Oh, wait, hold on. This is Weird Things, so I'm going to go out on a limb and say that people are bringing trunks to the airport, but it turns out that there are other riders in the trunk so that they could only pay a luggage fee instead of a second rider fee.
I thought you were just going to go full inside your own life and just be like, people are bringing trunks, three of them, to the airport so they can travel and do a magic show. they are not too pleased about it. The
and one of those three is filled with copies of Scam School Academy, now available at scamstuff.com.
Called Terrific by Genie Magazine.
Yeah, oh, that's right. That did just happen. I'm very excited. By the way, I wrote John Rockerbomber on your request. It was great.
Good.
So I'm going to say that this has something to do with something a little paranormal. And that you people are getting ghost fairs.
Now, hold on. What is a ghost fair? Is that where they're being charged and they don't know why? Like,
I think that they believe they are being directed to places where nobody is, right? And then they feel a haunting.
So it's like it's like the Uber app says, show up and pick me up here, and they show up and nobody's there.
Yeah.
And then they're all like, well, I guess I'll go on to my next fair. But then the computer goes, bloop, now go here. And you're like, oh, fool me once, fool me twice. And then they go, and then they get a big fat tip. It's like, thank you.
Well, I'm going to say that Justin's guess there is eerily prescient.
Aha! I came back from the other side in my fainting.
I want you to picture Justin in the middle of the Weird Things podcast, sitting down, trying to have a moment on the toilet. And then all of a sudden, in the brief moment, he's lurching forward. The complete 10-minute ending of 2001 happens. And during that time, he sees God and he knows what next week's Weird Things is
going to
be.
Oh, my God. That's all he gets to know is what topics I'm going to pick. And I try to change it last moment and it doesn't work. Oh, sorry. I had to eat a mint there. I had some really thick garlic today in my Mediterranean lunch, so it was driving me nuts. Japanese taxi drivers claim ghost passengers hail cabs at site of 2011 tsunami.
Oh, man.
Oh.
So this is emotionally
apparently they're
charged.
Asking to be taken back to the site there, and there's nothing there, Justin.
Holy crap. I mean, so we nailed this one.
Is there? I mean, this is all you, buddy.
What for poop faint?
Yeah.
You know, I literally thought you'd read it.
Listen, people have been talking to me for years. Old burn hands, you'll never have the deductive capability of old poop faint. And they're right.
So wait a minute. Okay. So where is the pickup here?
I don't know. You know everything now. Why don't you tell us?
I'm guessing. I'm all right. So, well, number one, this is your job.
Was.
But I'll guess. I think that they're just getting calls or dispatches and it's because I guess the question in my mind, it was like, oh, they go to a place. They're like, damn you kids. They feel all the ghosts like, oh, there was a chill up my spine and somebody was playing Glenn Miller.
No, I think it's the reverse. I think they just get a fare who asks to be dropped off there. And they're like, well, that's an odd place to be dropped off. And then they tell their friends, anyway, I had this fare. And they're like, oh, my gosh, was it a guy with dark hair? And it's like, oh, yeah, it was. You're like, was he Japanese? Oh, yes, he was. And they're like, you.
Let's dance around this because we can get real racist real quick.
I'm just saying, like, most ghost stories are unremarkable in the moment they happen. It's only in the context of afterwards they're like, that must have been old ghosty Tsunamer.
Yeah, chill pants tsunami death.
So a college student named Yuka Kudo, 22, went and did a survey, called up 100 taxi drivers and asked them if they had paranormal encounters, and apparently 7 of them said yes. This totally sounds scientific.
Wait, out of 6,000, how many?
100.
Oh no, okay, 7%. That seems about right.
of
from the Vinkman School of Ghost Statistics.
I mean, I'm just gonna say it seems like
Professor Egon told me that would be about the right number.
Today, if I asked 100 people, have you had a paranormal experience in your job? No matter what the job is, no matter where the people are, I would expect 7% or more to say yes.
Hmm.
No, you don't.
I guess it depends on the job.
Well, I mean, no. I mean, I'm going to say regardless of job. I'm going to say the job doesn't matter. For example,
I want you to call up the National Academy of Sciences and ask them.
Yeah, well, no, but like, all right. So let's isolate jobs that would have a higher possible, like what goes into a ghost sighting, right? And then have jobs that self-select for that. And taxi driver, I don't think we think of them as isolated people because they are constantly sort of on the move or interacting with strangers. But by and large, the huge part of a taxi driver's day is isolated. Like, what's the difference between this person and, you know, somebody else who just spends all their time by themselves and therefore are more susceptible to having their brain playing tricks on them?
Well, what about another job? Let's say you have an isolated job where your job is to decide when it's safe to launch a SpaceX rocket in the middle of a Weird Things podcast that may or may not land on a drone ship. What would that person say? Answer: 32 seconds to launch right now, live as we record this.
Which means technically it already launched or not.
Well, technically, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's sort of like the speed of light, right? Like, yeah, you know, whatever happened, the information.
Andrew, where is this launching from?
Cape Canaveral. And this is going to do it's a high orbit launch, means it's going to use most of its fuel. And there's a very, very slim chance they'll actually be able to land it. But they do have one of the drone barges out at sea awaiting the return of the first stage. And we're getting the water spouts are turning on, folks. Light up. It's igniting. Oh. It's on fire. And the fire is...
God, it's gorgeous.
Launch abort. Launch abort. They started to ignite, and then they just cut the ignition.
Oh. Oh, this is not the remix edition to the song called Ignition.
Oh. Brian jinxed it by saying it looked gorgeous.
Oh.
Technically, I jinxed it because I said what happened was this just in. We have exclusive information. They saw a ghost. Somebody got very scared, and he said, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, I'd be worried if we did a poll of SpaceX employees. How many of them saw ghosts?
Hey, listen, man, they need to be very specially focused, and that's all they need to do. As long as they're
focused. Yeah, I saw a ghost. It was Wernher von Braun. He came to me. He gave me all right. That's good. It's good. We're into that.
Well, how about this, everybody? If you enjoy this kind of wildly eclectic coverage, including but not limited to SpaceX live coverage and Japanese taximan ghost stories, then how about you head on over to patreon.com/weirdthings and support this program? It's so easy to do. You just give whatever you'd like. Pennies on the dollar, a dollar itself, $5 an episode. Well, hell, man, it's up to you. Patreon.com/weirdthings. That's where you need to go, and we thank everybody for supporting us.
Dude, whether it's pennies on the dollar or dollars on the pennies or pesos on the half shell, we would love for you to support us.
We're believers in turtle power.
Gentlemen, speaking of space, speaking of other games in town, and yeah. I think we'll kind of resolve that this Japanese ghost story is a little bit suspicious.
Suspicious, yeah. Sounds like just somebody, you know, wanted to tell a...
Hey, listen, I'm going to play a college student. You guys be taxi drivers, all right?
Okay.
All right. who do I call first?
Justin. Who will do
my name in this improv is Justin, and Brian's is Mr. Hiroki.
Well, hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I'm doing a research paper on ghosts. I want to know if you have any ghost stories, particularly relating to the tsunami.
Hi there. My name is Mr. Hiroki.
By the way, I do know it's called a tsunami, but I like to pronounce the T to make that clear.
That's fine, but I just want to make it very, very clear, despite the weird, possibly racist pronunciation of my name. I was actually born in Santa Barbara. I'm an immigrant. My parents were Japanese. They wanted me to grow up in Japan. I thought I'd drive cards.
Yeah. Did you have a question, college student?
I did, and I'm beginning to hate myself for even making this phone call right now.
No,
my question
fine.
Was did have you had any experiences? Do you have any ghost experiences? Do you?
Justin does.
Oh, well, I do.
Ever picked up any fares that didn't pay, but maybe they were ghosts?
Well, you know, there was one time where I was driving around a man that had black hair and a business suit, Japanese, and he didn't pay because he said, and I was really angry about it. And then I went back to Mr. Hiroki And I was like, hey, wait a minute. I was driving around a black-haired Japanese guy in a business suit, and then he told me about this crazy history.
Right. Well, the story I told was how I had a dream where I was walking and a cab came and was upset that I wouldn't pay. And but what's really crazy is this happened in 1991.
Oh, we got good vibration now. That was the song that was playing in the background.
Of course it was. Of course it was. He was flexing the cinder blocks, saying, "Someday I'm gonna star in a Transformers movie." It was amazing.
I'm gonna have to call my professor and tell them I need a new topic.
Ah, oh, doggone it.
In other news, speaking of space stuff, guys, you know, there's a novel out by an aspiring young writer which deals about the short-term future of space travel. And one of the things they talk about is the different space companies emerging. Now, we know about SpaceX. We knew about Blue Origin. We know about Virgin Galactic, which, by the way, unveiled their new spaceship, too, which is very sexy. And, of course, you guys know about Rocket Lab USA.
I'm sorry, Rocket Lab USA. That's like a teen outreach program.
Rocket Lab. Yeah. Go to rocketlabusa.com, and there's a video, and I want you to watch this. This is the era we're in.
Okay. By the way, we're looking at a very I would say it follows the same kind of template as a lot of new startups right now. It says Rocket Lab USA.
I don't know why they're plugging their vape pen.
I know, it looks like a vape pen.
You see, space, like business, is all about time and money.
The space must flow.
Black and white intro.
Apollo launched on average 2 times a year at a total archival of $47 billion for the program. That's $3.6 billion per flight. The space shuttle, though reusable, ended up over $1 billion per launch, only making it into orbit 4 to 5 times a year. As time progressed, expectations were that space would become more affordable and more accessible to business. Yet today, this is still simply not true. With a 2-year wait to launch and over $130 million on average spent to buy your own rocket. Although others have promised with all kinds of solutions like air launch, nobody has actually delivered. Space remains out of reach.
I mean, except for all the people who are currently putting satellites
Meet up. Electron, Rocket Lab's state-of-the-art all-carbon composite launch vehicle, a rocket dedicated to help us reach space, launching as often as you would like at $4.9 million. That's a 95% reduction in cost over the average launch of today. What? Space is finally within reach, and this is how.
Images of the rocket engine.
It's tiny!
System. This is a totally different way to build a rocket. A sustainable launch system that puts your satellite into orbit for the same amount of fuel as it takes a jetliner to go from LA to San Francisco. A launch vehicle whose sole purpose is to get your business into space by launching satellite constellations at a fraction of the cost. So what does this mean? Anyone can now reach space. You want to give the internet to the world? Done. You want to have better weather prediction? Also done. Selfies uploaded instantly anywhere on the planet.
No selfies? Problem.
The world is going to change.
What?
Crop monitoring and optimization. Your sports team live streaming deep in the Amazon. A young boy in a mud hut taking online classes from Stanford. Possibilities don't stop unless you do. Natural disaster, early warning, even prediction. Real-time Google Maps, wildlife preservation, resource management. Give the internet to the world through satellites and the world suddenly becomes 6 billion people smarter. Your dreams, your ideas in space, to save our planet's resources, create untold wealth, and provide an unfathomable pool of information and knowledge. Space is now open for business.
So I don't know if I think this new character in Silicon Valley is going to play well with everything else that they've done on the show, but it very much seems along those lines that this is a parody of a Silicon Valley pitch for a SpaceX kind of company.
Well, but what they're doing, it do justice to it. And again, this is the era of the very slick product reveals and that, and the Electron, it looks sexy. It does look like a vape pen. And what the goal is that the rocket, it's a much, much smaller rocket. It's made from carbon fibers. They show the production of it. So they say for, you know, under $5 million, you can have a launch. You're not talking massive payloads. You're not going to be shooting up the huge payloads. So it's going to be a very different kind of launch capability than, let's say, what SpaceX is going for. But what they're thinking is that a lot of the satellites that we're putting up there now CubeSats, and there's a thing called the TubeSat, is an even smaller size satellite. You don't need as much space. And they're looking at their launch cost to launch one CubeSat at $50,000.
Wow. Okay, so this is astonishing because...
Max payload is 150 kilograms, so 300 pounds.
So like one of us.
Oh my God! We can book now. Can we book?
Wow!
When do we want to launch?
How often are they firing off?
I think they're gearing themselves up to be able to fire as often as they possibly can. They want to do by lowering the cost so dramatically. The idea SpaceX is when SpaceX solves reusability, you know, all bets are off. But what this company is saying, okay. Meanwhile, there's a lot of smaller payloads, and often, SpaceX customers, we need to get this up within this time frame. We're going to drop a few million. We'll drop $20 or $30 million. We don't need to save money that regard.
Yeah, we're looking at essentially, it looks like a blueprint of shipping container options. And as you check them off, like right now, we have four slots for just $960,000. That's fantastic, to be honest.
They're booking ahead for Q4 2016 is fully booked.
Their earliest is Q2 2018.
Now, have they successfully put anything in orbit yet?
No.
Okay, that seems like that would be significant.
But at these prices, Brian, who can stop them?
I mean, I guess it's safe to do because you also get this insured, right? So you spend, let's say, $250,000, then you also take out a $30,000 policy and they underwrite it based on, whatever this company's reputation is.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. I think it's ambitious. I think that I wanted to show it just because how this is where we are, where we're getting product launches for rockets now.
Yeah. I think we've definitely been a little flippant here, and Andrew has been correct to temper where we're coming from. But just to be clear, the step forward in this entrepreneurially is not that it's reusable, but that it is cheap and light.
Well, right. and small, yeah. Specifically. So this is an angle that we haven't seen before. You know, we see Moore's Law making everything faster and faster, but we also see it getting smaller and smaller. And this is the first business platform of getting stuff to orbit that takes advantage of that. It's like
it's 4 feet wide. And what they've done, what's brilliant about this sort of this model is that, you could load your sections into a tractor trailer truck, or you can... We can fit it through your doorway. Why don't we put it in here?
Well, that's what I'm saying is that because technology has allowed us to do extraordinary miniaturization, right? To make everything so efficient, you don't need to send that much mass up to space anymore in order to get incredible scientific benefit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, two questions. A, on that booking form, when is they're booked out, right? But when is the earliest that they have listed there?
It was Q2 2018. That's when we were picking.
Is the earliest.
Oh, no. That's when we could book, right?
Sure. The very first one that they say they've got booked is Q4
of this year?
Of this year.
Are you kidding me?
I wonder where they're launching from.
Well, if we go to updates, construction begins on their orbital launch site, which is going to be New Zealand. They're a New Zealand company, by the way. New Zealand's Maihea Peninsula.
How could this have been done?
By the way, it's really unfortunate. The end of that video, it just sounds like he was only bought exactly 3 minutes and 28 seconds, and he was trying to cram as many ideas in before the deadline hit.
Yeah.
But regardless, I think this is a wonderful innovation, and doggone it, I hope everybody gets to space. I hope.
Oh, look at this! Yeah, Rocket Lab is on Angel List.
Oh, there we go. That's angel.co/rocket-lab-USA.
Oh, wait, is that a different company?
No, that's him.
Rocket Lab USA.
I think so. That's their website.
There must be a mistake because I could spell Rocket Lab USA unlike the rest of Angel List.
The name doesn't look right.
Listen, this is, we have certainly had a tremendous amount of fun at the expense of one famous science educator and communicator, and his commentary that, you know, we live in a world in which dreaming about space is a bygone concept. This, I think, is no matter what, right? No matter how, you know, it kind of comes off in that video. That's somebody dreaming and putting, you know, you need X amount of money just even to make that video and make the kind of promises that they're making. So, you know, somebody's gone out there and gotten a fair amount of capital on what is a really kind of interesting, rad idea, if that rocket is indeed what they say it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I would love to get a little more insight into how they deliver payloads, because I assume you're like, you know, you don't just want to end up anywhere. You know, it's like you claim orbits and this thing goes on. It's like a bus, basically. It's just like, you know, third orbit, everybody off, and then fourth orbit or whatever.
Fourth orbit, menswear.
Oh, yeah, it's an elevator.
Well, remember when they did the SpaceX launch in December with the Orbcomm satellites, and they had the ejector. And
right.
If you watched it all the way through, you watched as the upper stage continued on, every few minutes, this payload would get ejected from it as they were seeding the orbit with those things. And what was beautiful about that is, if you followed the Orbcomm feed afterwards, is these things had a lot of velocity to them. And as they were ejected, they were forming a constellation. Then over time, they started to spread out and find their orbits beautifully. It was just an amazing, you know, thing to see physics at work there.
Are they using servos to do the ejection, or some kind of minor explosives? Because I know there are some things that they actually use explosives to pop them off.
I think they use like a spring piston on that.
Okay. Man, that's astonishing that it can be so precise.
Catapult.
Mm-hmm. So is it official that the SpaceX launch is scrubbed? Is that what we're seeing?
I believe so.
We're just seeing a logo. They're all like, peace out. We're out. Wait, launch? What launch? Get lost, jerks.
Yeah. Yeah. We were hearing in the chat room that there was still a possibility that they might try to regroup and reboot and everything. But, oh, no, wait. Beef is saying, yeah, that it is scrubbed, and we are now taking a look here at a SpaceX tweet. Launch team has called a scrub for the day. Vehicle and spacecraft are healthy. But SpaceX, are they happy?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to turn this off for that reply.
Yeah, I was definitely lost in that reply. So here's the question: is did they give any reason for the scrub? Did they give any reason for it not working?
Not yet. All right.
Okay. We'll see. Well, regardless, we wish those guys the best.
Yeah. Wish them a Merry Christmas.
Gentlemen, do we want to jump into picks?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, dude.
So I got a pick here. Me and my my lady friend, who is also my wife, we went and got really sick over the past 2 weeks. I was sick, obviously, that landed me in the old ER. Last week, I kind of got better just in time for her to get really sick this week. So there's been a lot of laying around. We watched a series on Netflix called Master of None, by Aziz Ansari. Effectively, the march continues in this world in which talented writers and stand-ups just get their own sort of leave the auteur alone style autobiographical series. It's really well done. It's really fun. I found myself there's a episode as the second to last one that is effectively entirely takes place with Aziz's character Dev and his girlfriend in their apartment, that I found about as suffocating as just spending an entire hour in an apartment with two people that are constantly either fighting or being cute with each other. But by and large, I did enjoy it. I enjoy it when it is at its most ambitious. That, you know, every once in a while, whenever we get into these kind of shows that are artfully crafted and they're well done, and I enjoy everybody that is involved in it. But like when we get closer and closer to this kind of like anti-sitcom, right? Like, you just want somebody to adopt a puppy or go on a very brief adventure that has a beginning, middle, and end and wraps up by the end of the episode. You almost wanted just a little bit of old sitcom-y sort of pizzazz to it.
But
it was very, very fun, and I liked it.
That's interesting that I understand the inclination to speak about the parts that were not the best about it. I guess just now you talked about a bunch of opinions, then you ended with it. Anyway, I liked it because it didn't sound like you liked it, which I thought was interesting.
I liked it. It's just more of a and it's more of a commentary on just that genre of television more than it is necessarily about Master of None specifically. But it's like, you know, I really liked the episode where they go to Nashville. Like I like the show at its best when it was at its most ambitious and we saw the characters kind of doing interesting things and less. I think at times it got a little navel-gazy in assuming that its characters were so interesting that we could just kind of look at their faces for, you know, the runtime of an episode.
Yeah, I did not feel that at all. To be honest, the thing that stuck out the most to me about Master of None was how clean it is. I'm sure they cursed at some point, but I never caught Aziz doing it.
Really?
It was adorable. Like everybody was cute and saying nice things to each other, and the conflicts. Like, what were the conflicts? The conflicts were, oh, I'm afraid you didn't understand what I meant, you know. And it's about feelings and stuff. It was like It was kind of adorable softball because the format, you know, I usually expect all that to be super edgy stuff, and it was not edgy or disquieting or discomforting. I don't know. I thought it was adorable and sweet.
Yeah. No. I would have no qualms with that as a descriptor.
Hey man, so I just started, I'm going to give two picks. One is a late pick. Finally, Brant got me to, I'm going to take it back. I'm not going to do that. Forget Brant. Forget that he made me watch Whiplash. That's not my pick. My pick is that I finally have started listening to The Lies of Locke Lamora, the book. I don't know who it's by. I'm going to look over here in just a moment.
Scott Lynch.
Scott Lynch wrote a book, The Lies of Locke Lamora, that I tried to listen to once, like 6 months ago, and it just didn't hit me in the beginning, and I dropped it, and I literally just ran out of everything to read. And finally, I was like, all right, whatever, I'll start this. Fell in love with it. It has so many of the elements that I love a lot about the fantastic book, The Name of the Wind, and about the character Kvothe. A very similar character in that you have somebody who's extraordinarily talented who, instead of applying his skills, at least in the beginning, I'm only at the beginning, to good, does it for theft and personal gain and so on. It's a fantastic and strange world that I'm just now settling into, and I love that it's long. I love that this is going to be a long journey. I'm really liking it a lot, and it's weird that the folks... It makes me a little bit afraid. Like the folks who recommended it, my brother and Tom Merritt, both gave it kind of softer recommendations than I would expect for how much I'm enjoying it right now. I'm liking it a whole lot.
Awesome. Lies.
My pick is I watched the second episode of Vinyl. I still like Vinyl. Vinyl's still entertaining for me. But my pick is going to be... Minute totally escaped me right now.
What?
I know. Frustrating. I'm gonna double down on Vinyl. My pick is.
Wait,
oh,
was it Cooking on Netflix? The show all about the science of humanity, of how we came to fall in love with cooking?
No, it's not that at all. Actually, what it is, it's on iTunes right now for $9.99, and it's up for an Academy Award tonight for a few categories. It's The Martian. You can get it for $10. Martian is available for $10. And it's got a lot of great behind-the-scenes stuff. So that's my pick.
Wow.
You can get it on iTunes.
Now, I know you've had a complicated relationship with The Martian because you weren't in love with the book when you read it, but was the movie substantially different, or what was it about the movie that really connected with you?
Well, the book was sold to me by nobody I'll name of like, oh, it's this really good science accurate thing, and it starts off with an extremely inaccurate depiction of Mars. And so, and not to say it's a fault of the book, but when I'm presented to this thing, like, oh, you'll love this because it's this. And I'm like, no, that's not accurate. I have to sometimes go into stuff later on with a different point of view. It took me forever to get into Harry Potter. Then I fell in love with Harry Potter.
Sure, sure.
With the case of the Martian was that it was, I went into like, oh, let me read this really super accurate thing. And I get into this first part. I'm like, wow, this is really not accurate. This person probably doesn't understand my interest in the subject or whatever. Let me come back to it. And then the movie came out. Everybody raved about it. I said, you know, let me go watch the movie and see it for that. And the movie had, you know, it's that, again, my technical pick, and again, I think it's a fantastically entertaining movie, and I have pushed it on this podcast, told everybody, I think Andy Weir wrote a fantastically fine book. I think everybody should read that book and buy that book. I absolutely endorse it, and I'm not a person that says, I have this one thing, it ruins everything, but I have this, if you go into it with this, and like, well, no, that's not it at all, you have to sort of back up from it. So, long story short, the technical thing is, The inciting incident in The Martian is this windstorm that knocks him over and nearly kills him, which is not possible on Mars. And so when I went into this book with this, read this really accurate book, and I'm like, wait, no, that can't happen, you know? And so,
The air density is flat out not enough to create a wind that'll blow you over.
Later on, hey, you we'll just put a tarp over the top of the spaceship because there's no air density. In sci-fi, I'm used to, you get to change it. But you don't get to pretend you didn't change it.
Right, right.
Right? That being – and it was one of those things like, man, there are so many other natural disasters that could happen on Mars with these CO2 geysers and all that. It was
– but having said all of that, there's clearly something about the movie that connected with you that made it okay and got you along for the ride.
Yeah, I mean, every movie has its flaws. And that's a flaw that only me and people, a few groups, you know, there was a great presentation. I went to a presentation they did at the Fox lot, and Andy Weir was there, Ridley Scott was there, and they played this video where they talked to this Russian scientist they talked to who says, well, clearly the air pressure would not do this, you know. and it was a thing that Scott knew, and Weir didn't care enough because he knew that it wasn't going to be a detail. This was a book. Part of the popularity of this book came about because people worked for NASA loved this book. People working in the field that's been, you know, some people have said it may be the best cinematic depiction of scientists ever. So,
well,
you know,
and I think the benefit of I think what resonated was that the process was on target, right? The the breaking down of thinking, you know, 25 steps in advance and realizing the implications and beginning with the ending in mind and so on.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that's a thing where, you know, if somebody says weigh in on something like this, it's like, well, I will tell you about this thing and why that's a big thing to me in this domain, but in the domain of how of it being entertaining and everything else being great and all that, wonderful. I mean, it's funny though, because like I look at how scientists have rushed to champion the Martian as they should and have forgotten a bunch of issues with the movie that are not accurate, right? Which I don't care about as a moviegoer. I don't care about, but they will criticize something that's not as popular, you know, for far fewer sins.
That's the problem. The problem is it becomes about, oh, well, I like this and I don't like that, and let's use science as a bat to attack it.
Right. Right?
You know, as you know, which is, I think problematic. By the way, something that I just wanted to do a real quick Google.
Martian, $10 on iTunes, filled with wonderful extra features and all that. I love this film. Make the care. Love the book. Get both.
By the way, apparently Andy Weir's next book is supposed to come out this year.
Holy cow.
Zhek. Z-H-E-K.
Is this the sequel to The Martian involving the same characters, different world?
I don't know. Yeah. I've only done Googling while Andrew was talking, and apparently it takes place on the moon and has a female lead.
Right on.
Cool. I think that's a great idea for him to go back into that genre.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, yeah. I think he's a super exciting writer, and who knows? I mean, I think it's the odds on favorite to win Best Picture tonight.
Wow. Really?
Hollywood's greatest night. yeah, no, that and The Revenant are the two heavy hitters.
I didn't see The Revenant, but I just assumed, I'm like, oh, well then that's going to be the one that won because it looks like it has the most opportunity for acting with a capital A.
It also has
Weir has said to be working on a second novel, initially titled Zeki, describes as a more traditional sci-fi novel. It has aliens, telepathy, faster than light travel.
So not a sequel to The Martian.
But has since stated that project was backburnered and moved to another hard sci-fi novel with a female protagonist and based on the moon.
All right. So it's definitely a sequel to The Martian.
They're back. Yeah. So who knows? I don't know. Someone's got to have his cell phone. Can someone just text Andy Weir? Hey, dude, what's up with the book?
Get him on the show.
We got a lot of questions here. Listen, man, we're getting celebrity hungry here on the show. Have we talked about who's going to be on the show next week?
We have not.
Does anybody want to pop that bubble?
You brought it up.
Are we? Is that not a thing?
It is, yeah. It's the thing.
It's the thing. Absolutely. You just looked like you're about ready to launch into something. So
I didn't know. I didn't want to run. Listen, man.
I don't want to get in front of the Justin train.
I've got a problem with just running my mouth when I ain't supposed to. So I'm looking to you guys to see if there's a like. Whoa, no, don't.
As far as I know, we can all tell the truth about anything. Pop the bubble, man.
I believe we confirmed it last week. So I would say it's a green light if you want to. Tell who
All right.
It is.
The lovely and talented actress Ileana Douglas is going to be on the show next week. Why is Ileana Douglas coming on the show? Shut up. I don't know how. I don't know why. Ileana Douglas is an amazing actress. I have loved her in many, many different things that she's done. She's going to be on the show next week, and I could not be more excited.
She'd actually reached out to me on Twitter. She has a book out, and then she's like, oh, you do a podcast? I'm like, we do too. We do After Things, which would be perfect for you to come on board and talk about the book. But then you have to come to Weird Things and hang out with us and talk about Weird Things. Her book is called I Blame Dennis Hopper and Other Stories from a Life Lived in and out of the Movies. So, yeah, she's an amazing actress, amazing comedian in the way that she's able to play comedic roles. Very talented, directing, screenwriting, all of that. So she's very accomplished, and we're going to have her on our show hanging out with us.
And a great podcast guest. I heard her on Jay Moore's podcast, and she was fantastic. She's a great storyteller, so I'm excited to have her on.
I'm thrilled to find this out. I definitely searched my Gmail, and this is definitely the first that I've been given notice about that. That's very exciting, though.
Wait, you weren't on those?
No, I was not on the thread. It's fine, though.
You sure you weren't on the initial thread?
I mean, unless you used a code name besides Ileana Douglas, it might be that it's totally all right.
But that was just Andrew and me. Oh,
that's super exciting. I'm thrilled.
Yeah,
I'm
assume
nothing
the
but
guy
thrilled.
That sits 3 goddamn feet away from you might have mentioned it.
No, dude, we don't gossip. No.
All right, sorry. My apologies.
Oh, my God, Brian. You're not on any of these.
I agree. That's the case.
Call Rob. Cancel. Cancel.
Wait, all right, team meeting. Is it okay that Ileana Douglas is on the show?
I guess. Is she famous?
She is.
Did she write a good book?
Yes.
Does she want to be on Weird Things?
She came proactively to us.
Y'all allow it.
Good.
Hey. Let her know the good news.
No, I mean it's so funny because like normally we all have this like weird synced up vibe where we all kind of know what's going on, but then every so often it's like was I tuned out? Did I miss something? Did I not read or whatever? And it was in a weird way I was like, oh thank God, no, I definitely wasn't told about this. I'm not going crazy in my old age.
I swear we talked about it after the stream a few weeks ago.
I believe all of that, okay. but regardless, that's super exciting, man. Yeah. It's going to be great.
Hey, Brian, check your email real quick.
God, you son of a bitch.
I just wanted to go ahead. I just
going to throw it out there. Hold on. Guys, big news. I just got an email here.
Yeah.
Let me see. It looks like the email says looping in Bri on this.
That's great.
No, that's fantastic, man. I'm super, super excited.
Yeah, Brian, I'm going to do a check through. I'm going to do an email search to see if you've been pulled up. Let me type in Ilian Duck. No, I find one. Yeah, there's an email to you, Neshcom, Justin, looping Brian in on
this. You're
slaying
my body.
Everything's here.
Slit my throat, just leaving me in the gutter.
Look at that. Look,
gentlemen bastards, all of
Brian. Now there's
Brian, maybe next time you shouldn't put your server in your toilet.
Oh, damn. we got a ton of stuff to talk about on After Things, including Andrew's launch of Station Breaker, which has gone fantastically. If you have not gotten Station Breaker, please go get that. But I think we should go ahead and dive all up into there.
It's been weird.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.